us so much. Can somebody say, but God? Come on, but God. God can make a way where there is. So we thank God for blessing and for the health and preaching. And we thank God for all of you. Give yourself a hand for
it. Amen.
Give yourself a hand for it. Praise the Lord. Amen. To be in the house of God on a whole Sunday. Amen. We bless the Lord. We truly thank God this morning for being here. We did make one other. Our awards and giving out certificates. Has anyone seen how nice all the floors look? Amen. I don't know, you probably didn't notice it because it's so cold, you probably run it in. But on Thursday, Brother Danny came in and spent 4 hours refinishing all the floors. So we all just want to thank God for that. Amen. Thank God for what he did. And also for Deacon George helping to clear out and put everything back in. Amen. We bless the Lord, and I asked that because he had a lot of equipment, he had to buy a lot of wax. I said, so how much do we owe you? He said, nothing. Amen. So we just thank God for that. Thank you, brother. Amen. 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 So we thank that. We thank God for letting us borrow you. Yes, we thank borrow you because if your wife don't let them go, they can't come. I got to go through one of my other uniforms. You know, sometimes you have to wear different uniforms. Different hats. Oh, then different hats. I don't do two different hats, but I just change the uniform. So I got to go put on my heat uniform to try and help somebody out that didn't realize that when the temperature is dropping in your house, it ain't because it's cold outside, it's because the heat ain't working. Amen. So we have to do that. We're going to ask you to keep us in prayer as well as we're going to the Georgia Council Convention, this State Council in Georgia this week. So we ask you to keep us in prayer. Amen? Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand at this time for our scripture reading, which will be coming from Job, the 23rd chapter. Amen. The 23rd chapter of Job. If you have it, can we say amen?
Amen.
And for those who do not have it, it is on the screen. Amen. So we're going to ask you to turn to the 23rd chapter of Job. First one, we'll read verses 1 through 12 together, amen? First one reads, then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him, and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me, and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power?
No,
but he will put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so shall I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backwards, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hides himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way. Anybody glad God knows? I said, anybody glad that God knows? Nobody else knows. God knows. God knoweth the way that I take. And when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot has held his steps. His way have I kept. I said, my foot has held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary. Let us pray. Lord, we bless you. Lord, we thank you on today. Lord, we thank you for being a merciful and a kind God. Lord, we thank you for being a God that looks beyond all of our faults. Lord, our needs. And we ask you on this afternoon to speak. Lord, we ask you to speak through the anointing. For we realize that only the anointing can destroy the yoke. Only the anointing can open blind eyes. Lord, only the anointing can open deaf ears. Lord, only the anointing can heal the brokenhearted, and the anointing can set the captives free. Lord, so we ask you to send your anointing on today. Oh God, we acknowledge in this time, but without your anointing, we can do nothing. Lord, except your spirit be in this place. Lord, except you touch hearts. Lord, except you touch minds. Lord, all of our efforts are in vain. But Lord, as the psalmist declared, send your word that it may heal. Lord, send your word that it may deliver. Lord, send your word that it may set free. And for this we thank you. Can the church say in Jesus' name?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. There's an old gospel song. Bread of heaven. Bread of heaven. Feed me till I walk no more. Anybody want God to just feed them on today? Lord, feed me till I walk no more. Hallelujah. Amen. Back to the scripture. We're going to take our thought from verses 8, 9, and 10. Verse 8 reads, behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backwards, but I cannot. Anybody ever have some of those experiences where you're trying to find God? And it just seemed like the more you try, the further away he seems. Job was going through one of the greatest trials of his life. Job had experienced some of the greatest hardships known to any man. And in Job's hard times, he said, I've got to get to God. Anybody know that when things are bad, where can you go? Who else can you run to when it's time to get to Jesus? But Job, in his desire to get answers for why he was going through what he was going through, he said, I'm trying to find God, but I can't find him. Verse 9 says, on the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, and I cannot see him. So our message today is, where is God when you need him the most? When you're going through one of those real bad trials, one of those terribly challenging times, when it seems like things ought to be getting better and they're getting worse, and in your private time, you don't accuse God and you don't point a finger at him, but you say, Lord, where are you? Anybody ever cried that out, Lord, where are you? Somebody said, Lord, I need you, and I need you right now. Anybody got some of those needs? So where is God at when you need him the most? Now, some of you super religious people, y'all never get like that. But I'm just saying, I've had times when I said, Lord, where are you? And I'm trying to find God. I'm trying to find a way. I'm trying to find answers. When I can't figure out what I'm going through, Lord, I'm doing all that I know to do, but where are you? He said, I look on the right hand, and God is not there. I look on the left hand, and God is not there. He said, I'm just trying to find God. Anybody have one of those trying to find God situations? I've been praying, I've been fasting, I've just been resting in the Lord, but Lord, where are you? You know, you come to church sometime and you don't feel that touch. You know, when you first get saved, you know, God is touching you all the time. Every time you come to church, you feel a warm feeling. You feel I'm tingling. You feel God moving on you. But as you're in church, God says, okay, now you're getting a little stronger, so I'm not going to keep giving you that reassurance, because now I need you to walk by faith and not by sight. He said, when you were young in church, when you were a baby in church, I had to keep encouraging you. Hallelujah. He said, but the longer you walk with me, the more I need you to stand on your own two feet. And God said, because I want you to stand on your own two feet, the things I used to do for you to assure you that I was there with you, he said, I'm not going to do it anymore, because I want to see if you're walking by faith or are you walking by sight.
go to my spouse thinking I'm going to get some sympathy and empathy, and they just don't understand. Then you get to the point, you say, Lord, where are you? Anybody got some where are you moments? Anybody got some health challenges? Next to you. Look at somebody right next to you and say, he's right here.
He's right here.
You ain't got to look for him because he's right here. That's the problem. You're trying to find God and he's already. He's right here. Amen. You don't have to look for God. Solomon said, the heavens of the heavens cannot contain God. Hallelujah. Because God fills all space. God fills everything. So you right here.
Thank you, Jesus.
So where's God at when you need the most?
Thank you, Jesus.
You don't have to look for God. He's right there. And you ask, well, Lord, if you're there, how come I don't know it? Now let's go to Job chapter 33. A lot of times, we know God is there, but the problem is not God. The problem is we've already purposed in our mind how we want God to work. You ever entered into some situation and said, well, God, if you do this, I know you're there. And then God said, I'm with you, but then God don't do it. And then you ask yourself, wait a minute. I'm serious. You ever have some of those times where God has spoken to you in your spirit? God said, I'm with you. Go do this, and you see what I did. And then you go and do it, and boy, does it seem like the bottom falls out. Because you can't perceive what God is telling you. Just like Moses. He went to deliver his people because God told him to. Didn't God say, go deliver my people? Didn't God tell Moses, I've heard the cry of my people and I've seen their cruel, hard bondage? He said, now you go and deliver them. And Moses went and told Pharaoh, the Lord told me to tell you to let my, come on, talk to me. He said, let my people go. And when Moses went to Pharaoh, I will be good.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Because I got to act up. But nevertheless, let's go to Job 33. God has spoke. God is moving. But the problem is we can't see God. We don't understand what God is doing. And we say, Lord, you ever feel like, God, I'm doing everything you've asked me to
Thank
do.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
I'm paying my tithes. I'm paying my offering. And I'm giving. And my financial situation looks worse. God, I'm doing all I can to be a blessing to others. And it seems like instead of me getting a blessing, it seems like somebody is mad at me. On the outward appearance, it looks like it's getting worse. But Job said, he knoweth the way. Yeah, whatever we're going through is no surprise to God. Hallelujah. It might catch us unaware or off guard because we are looking for God to move one way, but God's purpose, he's going to move. Just like Moses. Moses tried to deliver the people of Israel his way, but God says, not yet. And then God had the audacity and the nerve to wait another 40 years. Right? But Moses, in his quest to help God's people, try to do it his way. Whenever we try to do things our way and not God's way, you can be assured they're going to get worse. Because in Moses trying to deliver the people his way, he wind up murdering an Egyptian. Because he was trying to do it, then when God sent him back, all he had to do was speak. Because God now is with him. So a lot of times we get caught up in the dynamics. We get caught up in all the things sit down, then God begins to move. We have to be still. Verse 13 of Job 33 says, "Why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of." Trust God. Don't question God. Don't ask God why, but just trust him. He said, Job said, when you begin to question God, or when you begin to deal with God, actually, this is Elihu speaking to Job. He says, when you begin to question God, you tell God, give me an account of what you're doing. Hallelujah. Verse 14 said, but he said, for God speaketh once, yea, twice, but man perceiveth it. God has been speaking to you all the time, but you have not yet got it because you were expecting God to do it your way, and God said, I'm not going to do it your way, because I'm God, I'm going to do it my way. And then as God begins to move, as God begins to do it his way, we get a little disappointed. We say, God, I thought that you would altogether do this. And then God speaks out of eternity. He said, wait a minute, you are finite. You are limited. God said, you don't understand me because my thoughts are not your thoughts. He said, my ways are not your ways. And just to show you how far apart we are, he said, my, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts to your thoughts and my ways to your way. He said, so the reason you can't perceive that I'm right there is because you're looking for me to come another way. But if we trust God and just walk in obedience, God will do what he says he will do. So he said, I speak once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. He said, in a dream, in a vision of a night, when deep sleep falls upon men and slumbering upon their bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction. Well, Lord, well, why aren't you manifesting what you're going to do to me now? He said, because I want to withdraw man from his purpose. And God said, I'm trying to hide your pride far from you. God said, and if I move when you want me to and the way you want me to, you're going to get lifted up in pride and say, I knew God was going to do it just like that. So God said, I've been speaking, I've been moving. Your dreams and your vision, God said, I was in that. He said, but you did not perceive it. God said, now you wanted me to do it your way. God said, but I purpose to do it my way. Well, God, why are you doing it the way that I don't like? Lord, why you take me through the valley of the shadow of death? I don't like that. Hallelujah. Why are you doing it like this, Lord? God said, because I'm doing it my way. Because if I do it your way, at the end you want to be lifted up in pride. You want to elevate yourself and say, I knew God was going to do it like this. And then you want to take the focus off of God and the glory away from God and put it on you. So God said, I'm trying to withdraw you from your purpose. I'm trying to change what you think I'm going to do. And most of all, I'm trying to hide pride. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
He said, I'm trying to hide pride far from you. And you say, well, Lord, why are you doing it like that? He said, because I want to keep his soul from the pit and his life from perishing with the... So Job didn't understand it. And Elijah's trying to explain, stop acting like you know how God is going to move. Stop giving God commands. Stop demanding God and just learn to walk by faith and obedience. That is the challenge to trusting God as we have to walk by faith. Can we say in obedience? Now let us go back to Job chapter 23. Job chapter 23 and verse 10. Job said, but he knows the way that I... Job said, maybe I can't find it. Job said, maybe I don't understand how God is doing it. He said, but one thing I do know. It's a whole lot I don't know, but one thing that I do know is that God knows the way that I take. And if I stay with God in the end, I shall come forth as gold. Hallelujah. Anybody feel like, God, I'm kind of lost in this mirage of India? I'm talking about in your situation, in your trial, in your test. You ever get a hold of God and you know God is right there? Jacob said, Lord, I'm in a whole lot of trouble. Look at yourself, I'm in a lot of trouble. I'm in a lot of trouble. But Jacob said, but I got a hold of you now. And I'm not going to let you go till you. Just hold on to God.
Yes.
Even though it don't look good, even though Esau might be coming with 400 troops, and it don't look good, still hold on. Just hold on to God. But if you hold on to God, when the am I? Well, how you know I'm holding on? Because there are times I turn the plate upside down. There are times I don't have a desire to eat food. Well, what are you doing? I found His word, Job said. Jeremiah said, I found His word and I did eat it, and it became the joy and the rejoicing of my soul. Hallelujah. So Job said, I esteem the words of His mouth more than mine. Listen, you know what he said? Everything else in life is not important. God's word has to be first. Now let's go to Proverbs, the 30th chapter. I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. Hallelujah. So even though I don't see God, I believe God because I got His word. And nobody or nothing can make me doubt God's word. There are some characteristics about God's word that nobody can change. There are characteristics about God's word that nobody can change. Now the devil will tamper with it. He'll try to misquote it, but he cannot change it. Verse 5 of Proverbs 30 says, every word of God is, you know, if God said it, trust Him. Pure means there's nothing hidden. There are no hidden motives. There's no anything in it that's going to mess you up because God's word is pure. I do my best, but I'm not pure. Amen. God's word is, say, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their. So if you believe God's word, then you put your trust in God's word. God said He will be a shield all around you. Why? Because I put my trust.
Thank you, Lord.
What are you trusting? The reason that you can't find God is because you're trusting individuals. I'm telling you, don't ever trust me more than you trust God. Don't ever believe me more than you believe God's word. I will do my best, but I'm only human, so I can make mistakes. But if you trust God, if I messed up, you won't see me. You'll still see God. You understand? So I might, maybe sometimes I might be out of character, and I might not do it exactly right. Maybe I won't finish all my scriptures. But if you don't look at me and you look at the word, you won't mess up. Because every word of God is pure. Hallelujah. And he goes on to say in the 11th verse, don't challenge God. Anybody like to challenge God in His word? Don't challenge Him. Just believe and trust Him. The 11th verse says, no, 6th verse, sorry. Now His word is what? Pure. And He will be a shield if you put your trust in Him. Now God's word is set. It cannot be altered, and God cannot change for anyone. His word is fixed. No man, no one, I don't care how they turn it and try and change it, it can't change it. Why? He said, add not thou unto His. Don't add to it. A lot of people are adding stuff to the word. That's why they can't find God. Because they're trying to find God by adding stuff to the word. Let the word be pure. Let it be true. And trust His word. Don't trust an individual. Trust His word. Amen. He said, lest He reprove thee and not be found a liar. Then he goes on to say, two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. He said, I just want two things, Lord. I just want you to do two things for me. Thing number one, he said, remove far from me vanity and. He said, don't let me walk as a hypocrite. Don't let me walk falsely. Don't let me walk projecting one thing and when I'm living another thing. He said, remove far from me vanity and don't let me live a lie. Anybody just want to be like that? Lord, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to be deceitful. I don't want to live in falsity. I just want to be real. So Lord, help me to live. That's thing number one. He said, thing number two is, give me neither poverty nor riches. He said, I don't want to be rich and I don't want to be poor. He said, but the one thing that I do want, Lord, is I want you to feed me with food that is convenient for me. Hallelujah. He said, because You're not holding on to his word. Your eyes have been taken off of Jesus, and you're focusing on everything else. Keep your eyes on the word. Amen. He said, lest I, who is the Lord? And lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. So Job said, I've seen the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And then the proverb, I guess King Agar said, feed me with food that is convenient for me. And somebody may say, well, what's so important about the word? You're trying to find God, you will never find God outside of his word. If you're going to find God, you're going to find him in the word. But the problem exists today is, let's go to Amos, we'll finish here, in the 8th chapter of Amos. We're going to read verses 11 and 12. Of Amos. Somebody said, where is Amos? This ain't famous Amos. So he ain't in the cookie shop. This Amos is in the Bible. The reason that many of us have lost faith in God is because we've taken our eyes off of the word. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away.
Glory to God.
He said, but my word is going to stand forever. God said, not even if my word is going to stand, he said, not one jot or not one tittle. Not the smallest part of my word will change because it is etched in my counsel. God said, my word is etched in my counsel. I don't care what a million people say, they cannot change my word. Amen, because my word is set. The reason people are trying to find God and say, well, Lord, where are you? And a lot of times they're trying to find God, but they won't come to God. How can you find God if you don't come to God? It's just like if I'm looking for an individual, I can't look for an individual. And like if I'm looking for my wife, and I know she went somewhere, I can't look for her standing where I'm at. I got to go what? Look for her. That's why the scripture says, seek and ye shall. So the reason that we haven't found God and we're looking for him is because we have not been seeking him. Because this is what the word of God says. In the day that you seek after me with. Now, a lot of times we want to seek God, but we don't know with. We want to do what we feel like giving God. But he said, in the day that you seek after me with, then shall you. Some people, you feel like you haven't found God, how are you seeking him? If you haven't found God, now you can't seek him through your husband or your wife. You can't seek him through your parents. You cannot seek God through your best friend, and you cannot seek God through your children. You have to seek him with all in your heart. So a lot of us, our lives are kind of out of balance, out of kilter, and things aren't where they ought to be because we're not seeking God with. Amos 8:11 says, behold, the days come, said the Lord God, that I will send a, God said, I'm going to send a famine in the land. And, you know, right now, we be thinking about famine, we think of a natural famine. But God was speaking of a spiritual famine. That's the problem when God says certain things we look for in the natural, but God is bringing it out in the spiritual. He said, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but the famine in these last days is people just don't want to hear the word of God. And because they don't want to hear the word of God, they have the audacity to tell God, I can't even find him. And God is, he's right there. God's not far from any of us. He is. But the issue is we don't want to surrender our will to his will. Verse 12 says, and they shall wander. When all they have to do is just give up, just be obedient to the word. So somebody said, you know what? I can't find God here, so I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to go over there, I'm going to go here. God said, you know what? I'm still the same. He said, I change not. You can run from sea to sea and from place to place, but But you're not going to find me until you seek me through my word. That's the word of God. He said, from sea to sea and from north even to the east, they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and they won't find me. Why? Because they're looking for God the wrong way, as we all say. Where is God, as the elders and the ministers and all the workers come for? Where is God when you need him? He's where? But you have to make a decision. You have to make a choice.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
And your choice should be, Lord, I'm going to live for you no matter what.
Yes.
Paul said it best. He said, for God I live, and for God I'll die.
Thank you, Jesus.
No one can make me compromise my faith and my conviction in God. And then when things get out of whack and I don't know where to go, where can I go but to his word? There's a song that says, in the word of God I found a. I said, in the word of God I found a. Hallelujah. We're hiding, but we're not hiding in the word. Trust God, believe God, hold to his word, and watch and behold the wonders that God will work in your life because you trust him. I'm going to ask everyone who's able to stand.